Well, good morning, everybody. We are continuing with the parables of Jesus this morning. And this week we are looking at a parable that connects to the parable we looked at last time. It is connected by just a few verses. The tie between this parable and the previous one is when Jesus mentioned the resurrection. And he says the host should invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and that those who do that will be rewarded at the resurrection. Jesus went on to explain that God himself, the heavenly host of that feast, that banquet, would offer the same invitation. In the last parable, Jesus taught how we should approach him. Approach the feast with humility. That we are required to look upwards to God, look inwards, and then look how we can serve other people. That's the attitude of humility that God looks for in his people. But now, something has changed. He's told the parable on humility. And then he says that, you know, if you were holding such a feast, who you should invite? Not those who would invite you back. That should not be your motive. But the poor, the disabled, those who are considered cursed and not blessed by God. And then Jesus taught this parable about how someone had laid on a fantastic feast. He'd invited people. And no one had said they couldn't come. No one had said they couldn't make it. But when everything was prepared and everything was ready and the feast was ready to commence, he sent his servant out to tell them, come, come, now is the time. Now is the time. The feast is ready. But they made their excuses and didn't go. This made the person putting on the feast angry. And he said, well, go and invite the poor, the lame, the crippled, the same list that Jesus said in those few verses previously. And he went and did that and came back. But he told the master, there's still room for more. So he went out and said, get the beggars, get the foreigners, get the homeless. Bring them in to the feast. The food is there. It won't be wasted. And how did this parable start? What was Jesus' reason? Because a Pharisee possibly said, well, we'll be at that banquet at the kingdom of God. We'll be there at the resurrection. We'll be there because we know all about God. Because we're his people. And they hadn't learned a thing about humility. So Jesus taught this parable. You see, they thought their ancestry, their law keeping, would make sure that there was a reserved place for them. But Jesus wanted through this parable to tell them that wasn't the case. You see, in that day and age, there was no phone, there was no email, there was no text message. So when they put out their first invite, it might be weeks before the event. It would be a long time before the feast would happen. So in case people forgot or in case they needed reminding, as the feast was ready, it was quite normal for them to send a servant out and said, come, now is the time. Come, everything is ready. So the parable that Jesus said would be perfectly understandable, perfectly acceptable. They knew what was going on. They knew the procedure. They knew what was happening. You know, some look at this parable and just think, well, the first invitation is to Israel and the second invitation is to the church. But I think there's something more to it than that. I think Jesus was trying to teach something else than just some theological lesson about Israel and the Gentiles. But you see, what would have upset those listening to Jesus? What would have made them angry? Was when those people made their excuses and didn't go, he invited those considered to be outcasts. He invited the poor, the disabled, those considered cursed and not blessed. Oh, they wouldn't be happy. And I just want to point out before we really get into this parable, some take those words, compel them by force to come, that we are to sort of put people's arms up behind their backs and make them come to Christ. That's not in line with Scripture. That's not what these verses teach. It's not by force. But there is a measure that we should be compelling. We should see an urgency in inviting people to Christ. So here we have this parable. And it's not my intention this morning to say, if this is the great wedding feast of Revelation and other parables, we'll look at that another time. I just want us, like last time, to see that there is a feast. There is a meal. And we were to approach it last time with humility. Well, this time Jesus is saying, right, you know there's a feast. You come with humility. Now the invited invite. We are his servant. And this morning's message is that the invited invite. You see, I get the picture that Jesus has entrusted us with invites. He has entrusted us to tell people. He has entrusted us to show people the way to Christ. What would have happened if that servant had ignored his master's wishes and thought, he's lost his mind? He wants me to go and ask the poor. He wants me to go and ask the disabled. He wants me to go and ask the leper. He wants me to go and ask those who have no home. He wants me to go and ask the beggar. He's lost his mind. I won't do it. It's not right. It's not appropriate. What will the other guests think? No, I can't do it. No, the servant obeyed his master and he went and asked those that he was told to ask. In like manner, we too must invite, persuade those who are in darkness to come into his marvelous light. Because I want to say this morning, all should be invited. There is not one section of society that should not be invited to come and know Christ. Everyone. From who might be considered to the lowest to the highest, all should be invited to come and know Jesus Christ, to come and share in the feast. So what are we like with invites? Do we see it as a responsibility? Do we see there's something that God requires of us, that we should persuade, compel those who do not know Christ to come and know him? This, I think, is the essence of the parable. To see that no one is outside an invite. To see that no one is not worthy of an invite. Everyone is worthy of an invite to know Christ. For Christ died for all, that all may be saved. In this parable, we put our preconceptions to one side. We put our prejudices to one side. To think that everyone, anyone, should get an invite. No matter what society thinks of them. No matter what the church thinks of them. They are all deserving of an invite to know Jesus Christ. What did Paul say? He says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's what the invite is for. It's to tell people that they can be reconciled to God. Reconciled. And this is the message he's entrusted with us. Those who've already accepted the invite. Those who've already been reconciled to God. He says, go and implore people to be reconciled to God. Their need of God. And he doesn't leave us to do it in our own strength, our own gifts, our own talent. Because he says this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses. Oh, we are to compel them, we are to persuade them so that the Holy Spirit can convict them of sin and of righteousness and of the judgment to come. You see, friend, this morning I want us to see we have been entrusted with a treasure. We have been entrusted with something valuable and we are being sent out, go into the world and preach the gospel. Go into the world with an invite to anyone and everyone that they can come and know the living, risen Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God loves this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And yes, when you invite people to know Christ, you'll be met with excuses, just like this parable. And when we look at them, they're not very good excuses, are they? Who would buy ground without seeing it? Who would buy oxen without making sure they can do the job? And why wouldn't marriage prevent someone? Marriage is not a prison. These are just excuses. They're not bound in reality. For some reason, they didn't want to go to the feast. I want to say a bit more on that a bit later on. The time is now. Now is the day of salvation. And he has trusted us with the invites, just like the servant in the parable. Because only those who have been reconciled with God, only those who have repented and believed in Jesus Christ, will be at the feast with him, can feast with him, whether that's the great wedding feast or whether it can be just like a communion service. Breaking of bread is for those who are being reconciled with God. And this is our invite to people today. And you see, but I don't think it's me. I don't think it's my ministry. I don't think it's what God wants me to do. I want to tell you this morning, God is not interested in excuses. He has given us the Holy Spirit. And Paul says in Romans, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Oh, we have good news. We have the gospel. Friends, this morning, I want us to see the need to compel people, to persuade people, not just friends and family, but anyone and everyone, that they have an invite to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and by doing so, be reconciled to the true and living God. There's a song in the 70s by Andre Crouch, and it was just simply called Tell Them. Tell them, even if they don't believe you, just tell them. Even if they don't receive you, tell them for me. Tell them for me, please. Tell them that I love them and I came to let them know. Tell that lonely man who walks the cold streets all alone. Tell that crying child who doesn't have a home. Tell those hungry people dying, lost in the desert. They don't even know I care. Oh, tell them. Even on the byway, tell them I mend the brokenhearted and restore the ones who have parted. And I came to let them know, tell them we're his ambassadors, we're his representatives. We've got the invite. We know the terms. We know how to get people to the feast. And he's entrusted that invite with us. Who do we invite? Maybe it's too broad to say everybody and anyone. Well, let's not have any preconceptions. Let's not have, well, I once heard it say, plant a church in the middle class area, you'll get more people coming. That's against this parable. This parable to me says clearly and loudly, everyone and anyone. But we live in a day and age where people are crying out for something that's real, for something that is authentic, for something that is true. So we can tell people, this is what happened in my life, and it can happen in your life. And therefore, we need to see people in need of a Saviour, people in need of Jesus Christ. What did Isaiah say? Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, you who have no money. Come, buy and eat, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Or as Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You see, in every part of our society, in every structure of society and communities, from the poorest to the richest, there are people who are weary, and burdened and thirsty, no purpose, no meaning to life, no peace, no joy. And we have an invite that says, come, come and know the living God. Come to the one who died on the cross for you. Come. You see, we need to see that people are thirsty, people are burdened, people have been trying all their lives to get God to accept them. They've been trying all their lives to please Him. They've been trying all their lives with sacrifice and giving and obeying things and being good. And yet there's still this emptiness within. And yet we have an invite that says, come and know Jesus if you're thirsty. Come and know Jesus if you're burdened. Come and know Jesus if you're brokenhearted. Come to know Jesus if you've got a good life, but you know there is something lacking and something missing. Come to Him, the true and living God. You know, the Rolling Stones sang a song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. And maybe that summed up a generation looking for something, but they never looked at the one who was the answer, Jesus Christ. We have good news, don't we? The word is powerful. Our friends, we can invite the thirsty, the hungry, the weary, the burdened to come to Him so they can be cleaned and forgiven, believing in Him. How will they know about Jesus? Unless we tell them. We need to invite people to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. That's an invitation. What an invitation. You'll have a purpose for your life. Satisfaction for your life. But you know, some people quickly say, but there's people who've known Jesus and they got thirsty again or hungry again. I want to say, what Jesus is saying is, if you go to Him, you need never thirst or be hungry again. That's all I'm going to say at this point. You need never thirst or go hungry again. Oh, we're to be the light. We're to be the salt. We're to be the good Samaritan, showing the love of God by how we live and what we say. Oh, there is a feast, there is a banquet, and we need to tell people that they're invited. And we have to tell people that the way to get the invite is to come to Christ, come to Jesus, come to the living God. And all the time we need this balance of saying, go to Him for who He is, not for what you'll receive. And sometimes we get the balance wrong, and I'm trying to balance it right this morning. We need to tell Him there's a Son of God who is fully God and fully man who died for them. And He's the Lord of lords and King of kings. You need to confess that He's Lord. You need to bow your knee to Him. You need to call Him your Saviour. For Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. It's Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I have come into the world as light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Oh, what a message! What an invite to be in light and not darkness. Oh, what a message that we can have life, life to its fullness, life to its abundance. But we come first of all to Him in repentance. There's no life without repentance. There's no walking in the light without repentance. But what an invite He's entrusted us with. Oh, to invite people to come and know Jesus, to have life. Life with such a purpose. Friends, I'm trying to excite you this morning with this invite that we have, so that we would invite people, persuade people, compel people that they need to know Jesus Christ in their lives. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's an invite in itself. We tell them, you want to know who God is? You want to know the true God and only God, the one who calls, that Paul calls, Abba? You have to go through Jesus. There's no other way. Jesus also said, No one comes to me unless the Father has enabled him. You see, the Father invites through Christ to get to the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is involved, it's a circle. And this morning I just want us to grasp, God the Father says, go and invite them to know Christ. Go and tell them that they might know Christ. And by knowing Christ, they get reconciled to me. It's a circle, it's complete. I give you the invite. The Holy Spirit is poured on you with power, supernatural ability. You invite people to Christ, they repent and believe on him. And through Christ, they have fellowship with the Father. What a treasure we have. What an invite we have. You see, when Jesus came to Caesarea, he asked disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, some others Jeremiah. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you, but by my Father who is in heaven. We're ambassadors. We have the invite, but we're not responsible whether they repent and believe on Jesus or not. They need a revelation from the Father of who Jesus is. But they need to hear from us that compelling, our life story, where we can testify to the faithfulness of God in our lives. Well, I think time is almost up, and I just want us to end with that last verse, which is a bit... But some people find concerning, where Jesus says, I tell you, not one of those men who are invited will get a taste of my banquet. What is Jesus saying there? I want to say this morning. There are those who've had the invite. Compelling invite to know him, to be reconciled to him, to enjoy a feast with the living God. And God has even given them a glimpse of who Jesus is. He's given them a little bit of a revelation, understanding of who he is. Just like those Pharisees and religious leaders, they knew who Jesus was. They knew how the prophets had prophesied about him. They knew that he was from God. And yet they gave excuses to the banquet. They gave excuses to the feast. And this is what I think Jesus is saying this morning. There are those who will be invited. There'll be those who get some understanding and revelation of who Jesus is. But when push comes to push, or push comes to shove, they make excuses not to meet with the people of God, not to be reconciled fully with him, not to be salt and light, not to be faithful servants, not to be good Samaritans, and everything else we've looked at in these parables. And Jesus says, you'll miss out on the feast. You'll miss out on the banquet, because although you accepted the invite, although the invite was declared to you in power of the Holy Spirit, and although you got a glimpse of the glory of Jesus Christ and what he done up for you upon the cross, when it came to it, you made your excuses and you didn't make the feast. Solemn words from Jesus there. But I want us this morning, from this parable, to get the urgency to tell people, not just by what we say, but how we live, for the Father to reveal Jesus so that they go to Jesus and have life, which is the way to the Father, and will have their invite for the feast, and they'll be there reconciled to God, worshipping with others who've accepted the invite to be reconciled with the living God. You see, those who had that first invite, they knew who Jesus was. They did not make it to the feast for lack of invite or understanding, but because they made excuses. I pray you're not making excuses this morning. There's time. There's still room in the feast. Did you notice that the person putting the feast on was waiting for the last one to come in? There's still room at the moment. There's still room. Do you know who Jesus Christ is? Have you had a revelation of who Jesus is? Come to him this morning. Be reconciled to the living God this morning. And if you are one who's had the invite and you've responded and you know the living God and you know the power of the Spirit in your life, then the challenge to you and the challenge to me this morning is, what are we doing with the invite for others? Are we telling others? Are we inviting others to know the Jesus that we know? While there is time, let's tell them. While there is room, let's tell them. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Amen.